house this morning. Good to have Brother Charlie with us today. That's a feat within itself. I know had a lot of back pain in my life, and I know it ain't nowhere near what he's had. He's had his broke, but I just thank God he's here today, and we're going to continue to pray for him going through surgery there Thursday. So about 3 o'clock, everybody remember to lift him up, and we're going to have a special prayer here after church. Call the elders to come and pray with him, and also the body. We're going to lift him up to the Lord. That said, to turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Joel. That's a little bitty book. You may have a hard time finding it. You see Hosea, that's before it. Hosea, Joel, Obadiah, any of those books right there, you'll be close to it. Near the end of the Old Testament, small book. And I've heard Brother Charlie preach here a time or two, and I was studying on it and looking at it, and I want to give you what God's given me this morning. I thank God I'm saved today, and I hope everybody here that you're saved this morning. But there's never been a time like that I can ever remember like right now when a country is divided. What does the Bible say about a house divided against itself? It won't stand, will it? We are in the last days. I look around and I see the little town that I was introduced to back 38 years ago, I guess, this week. Be down. I was happy anniversary, honey. And 38 years ago, we come here to this little. I came here to this quiet little town. And you could come through town on Sunday, and you might pass one or two cars. You come through at any time after 5 o'clock, you might not pass anybody. And if you drove by here at 8 or 9 o'clock at night, there wouldn't be nobody there. And now look at it. I wonder what some of them old timers would think if they pulled up in that little curve right there coming into town and seen a burner under a mash. Y'all know what I'm talking about. What would they think about that now? That'd blow them away, wouldn't it? What do you think about God thinks about it? And it makes me feel so bad inside, the things that our children won't ever be able to see, some of them, and remember how we remember it. And it makes us kind of feel like it's our fault, doesn't it? I want to read a little bit of scripture to you today, a warning scripture that Joel, in the book of Joel right here. I want to start with chapter 3, and I'm going to start at verse 9. It says, "Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles, prepare war. Wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near, and let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords, your pruning hooks into spears, and let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about thither. Cause the mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened, and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come get ye down, from the press is full. The vats overflow, for the wickedness is great." Listen to verse 14. "Multitudes, multitudes, the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near, in the valley of decision." Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you this morning, God, for your mercy and your grace. I want to thank you for this little church, this body of believers. Thank you, God, for my pastor that sits here this morning. Pray, God, that you give him ease of pain. But help us this morning, Lord, to preach in power demonstration of the Holy Spirit. God, a message of warning, a message of salvation, a message of being saved today and what it means to be saved. I hear the song about being in prison and the one that frees us from that prison. And God, let everybody know that feeling of being free, even in the situations that we live in today. God, we can be free in your Son, Jesus Christ, and the blood he shed on Calvary's cross. I want to humbly thank you for that this morning. And God, at the same time, I want to pray a burden, a great burden on those in the harvest. Those that take your precious word to others, those that witness to others. God, let it be a strong witness. Let those multitudes be saved before this time comes. Help us, Lord, to do your will and to do it your way. And God, I want to thank you for all that you're about to do. I want to thank you and praise you, God, for your healing hands. I want to thank you for the Holy Spirit today, God. Let's just pray that he fills this place this morning. God, if there's one here lost and undone without Jesus Christ, I pray, God, that soul can be harvested today. And help us, Lord, to lead and guide those that are lost and undone towards you. And we're going to love you, thank you, God, give you all the honor and glory and praise for what you do. For it's in Jesus' holy name we ask all these things. Amen. As I read that scripture, I want you to understand today that what is said here is looking back on the previous chapter. And in that previous chapter, Joel talked about an outpouring of God's Spirit. I want to read a little bit of that this morning. The Bible said, and if you look over there in chapter 2 and verse 2, 28 and 29 down through there, and it shall come to pass after that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered in Mount Zion, and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. And Peter over in Acts quoted that. And the day of Pentecost was coming on them. And we live in a day to day when that Spirit is still available. The Spirit of God can still be in his house today. And when we call on it, those that are lost, those that are undone without Jesus Christ can come to know him in the pre-pardon of sin. But Satan is in the midst of all that. And he wants to pull down. He wants to create havoc. He wants the minute that a soul is having its heartstrings pulled, Satan's already devised a scheme to say, no, that's not what it is. Don't worry about that. Clamp them fingers on that pew right there and you just sit still, let it go. You see, there's never been a more power. People, this is a spiritual word. God has made us in his own image. He is a spirit and we were made in his image and we're a spirit. And the trouble with man today is we think in a physical sense, when we should be thinking in a spiritual sense. And this week, we're going into what they call Halloween. And I want to tell you something. It talks about sickles and things that you'll see on some of these little Halloween uniforms, and they're kind of making it like it's make-believe and all that. These spirits, there's evil spirits out there the same way they are good spirits. God warned us of that. He said, discern the spirits. And I tell you, I'm glad that there'll be people down there. We'll be handed out tracts and things that tell you how to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the thing that should be going on. But there'll be people dressed up like goblins and kind of making fun of those evil spirits when they're just as real as they can be. And if you call on them, they will come. And there'll be people out there at the end of this week that'll be calling on those evil spirits. And Satan will just have him a big time. But then we read the scriptures of a warning. I ain't even started preaching yet, but I want to preach on what the Bible calls the valley of decision. I've heard my pastor talk about that before. And it's not talking about your decision there in that scripture, though. It's talking about a decision that God's going to make. He's going to look, and he's going to have a spiritual look at all mankind. And if he can't see the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, I don't have to tell you what his decision is going to be. The Bible tells you from beginning to the end. Hell's a-coming. But yet, the world would have you to believe today that everything's okay. I'm talking about the devil in the world now would have you to believe that everything's okay. Acts chapter 2 and 16, Peter quoted the prophet Joel right here, right before the Holy Spirit came. And he said, hey, these people ain't drunken. This is the Holy Spirit right here. Brother, I want to tell you something. You ever been in a church when the Holy Spirit came down? I mean, people get happy in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you see people start popping their hands and crying out, amen. They feel something, and that something is real. I thought about all that. There's a decision to be made, and I looked at verse 9 right there. He said, proclaim ye this among the Gentiles, prepare war. God is, I love this scripture right here for this reason. I think about Jesus coming into town on that donkey. Y'all remember that in the Bible? How humble and the humility he had about him. And this is the same Jesus right here now, what he's talking about. But he ain't going to be riding no donkey. I mean, the saints are going to be with him. But look what he said. He said, prepare war. He's making fun. Does this seem like the same? He's making fun of them that's about to make war against him. Now, them Jews, they would have liked that Jesus if he had come that day, wouldn't he? But you see, it wasn't ready. It couldn't be that way until he paid the price. He had to pay our sin debt. He had to shed his precious blood and water and give his body. We didn't take it, he gave it. We done our best to take it, but we still couldn't take it until he gave it. And when he gave it, that veil was rent from top to bottom. Y'all know the truth in God's word. Listen to me, today is the day to be saved. Today's the day to make a decision. Before this day comes. He said, prepare for war. Wake up, mighty men. That's like Alabama standing in front of Tennessee. Say, bring it on. Sorry about that, Joe. I just slipped. God earned this right. He paid that debt for us. And he can say this now. He don't have to look down anymore and ride that donkey in the town knowing where he was going. People screaming and hollering Hosanna to him like he's their king. And then when they see the real story that he's going there to let them bludgeon him with a flagrum, the cat of nine tails, and beat him and put a crown of thorns down on his head, this ain't the same Jesus right here. All that's behind, and this is to look forward to. This right here is coming. He's telling me, he said, go ahead and beat your plowshares. Go ahead and make your guns. Get everything ready. I'm coming. Knowing that they're going to lose. You can't win this battle. God is coming, and we are in the last days. Brother Charlie's preaching that on Wednesday night, or teaching it on Wednesday night. I'm telling you, if you're not here, you missed it. Of course, he's on a quietus right now, but he'll be back with a vengeance. And it's good. We need to know what's fixing to come down the pipe, don't we? Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now this weekend, you're going to see plenty of that. We got these little kids that we're trying to tell about Jesus. And you know, hey, I've been there all my life. When I was a little kid, that Halloween was a big thing. And I remember the preachers preaching against it then, them preachers that used to, veins used to pop out of their head, you know, when they was preaching. That's the kind that I had was under, listened to. Thank God I was. I was scared to death to walk into the house. And when you walked into the church house back then, you reverenced God. You reverenced the place that God resided. It was a spiritual place. And today we just kind of walk in. This is the day we live in. We walk in and we're just kind of comfortable. Folks, I want you to be comfortable, but I don't want you to be comfortable that way. Not in a place of worship. And when God's on the scene, we need to be very much reverent about what's going on. You ever heard a roaring lion? I went to Atlanta Zoo. Dinah and I, we used to take our kids down there, and they had a lion in there. And that thing was purring. And you could feel it under your feet. And then we were plumb over in the zoo somewhere else an hour or two later, and that thing roared. And I mean, it sent cold chills up your spine. And that's what the devil's doing. He's trying to take everything that's good away. And it looks like he's winning the battle right now. You see, really, that's who God's talking to right here. He's talking to those that still got a belly full of pride. Those that won't come to know who Jesus Christ is. Those that have got their fist in there and said, come on. The devil wants to take him on. The devil still thinks he can win. John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And God is a spirit. Now, here's the thing that really kind of blew me away, that God showed me these last few days. Everybody here, you're thinking all the time in a physical sense. Ladies are always looking at their physical appearance. Some men are doing the same thing. I'm not trying to make it sided in any way, but we all about the physical. And this is what I come up with. The spiritual is real, and the physical is symbolic. Now, we think the physical is real, and the spiritual is symbolic. That's backwards. Let me tell you it again. The spiritual is real, and the physical is symbolic. Let me show you how. I always got to bring up Sister Niecy's tabernacle. The tabernacle is physical, right? It's a physical a tent, and it housed the tabernacle, and it had everything in it there so that God could be close to his people. But that tabernacle was physical, but it was a spiritual. It was symbolic to the spiritual. This backwards of what you think it was. It was about sacrifice, something that God would do in his own body, in his own blood. The tabernacle's physical, but it was about the spiritual. Baptism, it's a physical thing. We go down there, we get dunked in the water. What does that represent? The spiritual. The spiritual don't represent the physical. The physical represents what's real. Amen? You see, it's just representation. So when we get baptized, we just get dunked in water. If you get dunked in water and you're lost and undone without God, you just got wet. That's all. You just went in a swimming hole. But it represents the death. Dunk them in the water. They die. And they come up resurrected. The death, burial, resurrection. It represents the spiritual. I can keep going on this. The local church. And preacher, how does that work? Well, the local church represents the spiritual body of Christ. It's a physical building, but the real church is what? The body. The devil don't want you to know this, folks. The devil wants you to think that everything's physical. He wants to keep you in a physical realm. Because he knows the minute that we come to fellowship in his house and we call upon the Holy Spirit, that he's going to have to flee. You see, he can't reside in the same place where God is. Get on out of here. Be done with it. People don't realize that don't study the Word of God what's coming. And I hope from the littlest child here to the oldest person here, you need to understand that we are in the last days. I don't think preachers say it enough. I think for years and years and years, I think I was probably, well, I know I was. I don't ever remember anybody, now I'm talking about when I was a little child. Of course, they could have, and maybe I wasn't paying attention like I should have been, but I don't remember people preaching on the last days back 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. I don't remember none of that. I didn't learn about that till I was in my 40s. Boy, don't you know the devil wants that, don't you? But yet, Jesus Christ could have come 40 or 50 years ago. He could have come ever since the day he ascended. He could have come back the next day. But certain events had to take place. Certain things had to happen. I'm telling you, God loved us so much, he made a way for us. And some of us, we're just kind of nonchalantly walking through. I mean, we're not in a serious mode of leading people to the Lord. I'm talking about harvest. I want to stay in my notes here as good as I can. Mark, let's go to Mark 14 just a minute. Mark 14, 14 and 15, I think it is. And whosoever he shall go in and say ye to the good man of the house, the master smith, where is in the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples, and he will show a large upper room. That's not where I wanted to go. I want to go over there where he talks about the Word of God being sown. But it talks about the sower that sows the Word of God and it falls by the wayside. Who's there to devour it? Satan, when that Word falls by the wayside, people are sitting in church and the devil has got things that he's put before them before they even got here. They don't realize that he's trying to mess up a service that's not even happened yet, but he's already looking at you. He's already putting things before you that'll have your mind in a different place than it should be when you come to church this morning. Does that make sense? That's how the devil operates. He's not omnipresent. He's not omnipotent, but I tell you what he can do. He knows by watching you what he can put before you and take you to his little world. And that some of that seed falls on stony places. It goes in places where it can't take root. We need to be preaching and teaching in the meat of God's Word. People need to desire the meat. The Word of God says desire the milk. You have to walk before you run, right? But that milk, when we get some of that milk, we ought to want more. And we get off the milk of God's Word and we get on the meat of God's Word and we're going places. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4 says, but if God's gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. You see, the devil don't want you to find Jesus Christ. He wants to tear down. He wants to walk around like a roaring lion. He wants to think, I've got the stuff. And it's happening all around us. This weekend will be a good picture of it. You just watch. But I tell you what, every chance you get, you share Jesus with a child. That's what it's all about. I don't want to be one of these persons they'll be on the radio this week. Boy, I hate them people that want to shun Trigger Treat. It's not about shunning a good time. It's about shunning something evil. That's what it's about. That's what the church is about. People out there in computer world, I'm not here to steal your fun. But I'm telling you, it ain't going to be in fun in the day I'm talking about when God comes back and this war starts, this battle of Armageddon. It ain't going to be fun and games then. And those young people that are not taught what's right and what's wrong, who's going to be held accountable for that? Amen. He said, in whom the God of this world, this is 2 Corinthians, this is the fourth verse, in whom the God of this world, the devil, hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The light of the glorious gospel. Brother was preaching this morning on the law. What does the law do? The law puts light on sin, right? Joe, we need a lot more light. A lot more Bible. We don't, maybe, I know that we need to pray a lot more than we do. I know that we need to teach a lot more than we do. I know that we need to preach a lot more than we do. We need to share the Word of God more now than ever because of the things we see going on. It's kind of like I'm sitting in a place that I don't even... I'm sitting in a foreign land right now. Anybody else feel like that? I mean, I look around me, they ain't nothing the same anymore. And I'm not saying it was a bed of roses 40 years ago, but what I'm saying is it's gotten a lot worse. There's a lot more thorns and thistles out there now. And it's easier for the devil to hide things. How does he hide things, preacher? Well, everybody's looking at a cell phone. He's got your mind, he's got our minds right where he wants it. There's so much appearing, people are eating the meals, and I'm as guilty as anybody else. I got to look down there to see who called for a job, and while I'm there, I might as well go to Amazon a minute. While I'm there, I'll look at Fox News, and I'll get all tore up while I'm eating. Y'all know the gamut, don't you? I mean, we're tied to that little thing now. It's another way that the devil has to take our mind off of what's real. You got something physical there that's taking you away from what's real, the spiritual. We have to be careful, folks. We got to know what's coming. Matthew 16:26, for what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give for his soul? What are they out there to gain, folks? When you're looking at eternity the way that a child of God looks at eternity, the world has nothing really to offer you, right? I mean, there's nothing there for the real child of God. He should remain focused on God's word and focused on what is real. Look at Revelation just a minute. Revelation chapter 18, 11 through 13. Look what it says. This is what's going to be going on now. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. Those of you that got all your, what you call a blessing in a bank account, listen up. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet, and vessels of ivory, and all manner of vessels of most precious wood, and of brass, and of iron, and of marble, and cinnamon, and odors, and ointments, and frankincense, and wine, and oil, and flour, and wheat, and beasts, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves. And look at that last one. Souls of men. That's really the only one there that God's interested in. And it says, and the fruits that the soul lusted are after are departed from thee. And all these things were dainty and goodly and departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. If you're blessed, and I'm not saying it's not a blessing to have things and have a roof over your head and a nice vehicle to drive and all that kind of thing, that's a good thing. But boy, if you put all your weight in the physical things and you just drop the spiritual, and the spiritual being the real thing, you're in trouble. I mean, you're in real trouble. And the church is in trouble. God's people can have a troubled time if we don't stay in the spiritual and away from the physical. We have to keep our mind intact. We have to understand what God's will is in each of our lives, what God wants us to be doing. Let me cut back over here to Joel. That little old book, it's hard to get to pop up in there, isn't it? Look what he says right here in verse 13. Put ye the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come get ye down from the press. It's full. The vats overflow. Those of you that harvested a garden this year. Now, I always plant a big old garden, and I got my dream about not a weed's going to get in that thing this year. I had a young, or a man, I call him young man, that makes him feel better. He's older than me. But he had a garden down there, one of my people in my church where I pastored down there. You could go to his garden anytime you wanted to. And I swan him, you'd have to get down on your hands and knees with a magnifying glass to find a weed in that thing. I always wanted to know how he done that. I don't know. He had to stay in it. I'd ask his wife, I said, he been in that garden today? She just looked at me and grinned. I mean, they would not be a weed in that garden. If you drove by about three, I done mowed mine down now. If you drove by about 3 or 4 weeks ago, you seen how mine was about 2 or 3 weeks after I planted it. It's pretty bad. We had to wade through the snakes and the weeds to get to the fruit. I said all that to say this, when a fruit comes in, you got to harvest it right then. If you don't, what happens? It'll ruin, won't it? If you don't do tomatoes when it's time, they'll just rot out. If you don't do apples when they come in, they'll rot out. Everything that harvested, there's a certain time that it has to be harvested. And I'm going to tell you, folks, we're in the time of harvest for souls right now. And if we let it lay and we don't harvest the souls, what's going to happen? That blood is on our hands. Every time you get a chance to witness to somebody and you don't share Jesus Christ with, you just let harvest go. That's the only time I know I don't think God wants us to leave any gleamers. You know what a gleamer is? A gleam? Used to, when they planted the fields, they'd leave the corners for poor people. They'd leave them some grain and stuff so the poor people could come and get grain. But when we're looking for souls, don't do that. Go after all of them you can get to. Go after everything you can get to. He said, put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come get ye down, for the press is full and the vats overflow. Wickedness is great. Multitudes and multitudes in the valley of decision. God is fixing to take harvest on. It's His decision. Does He see the blood of Christ on this one? Because many are going to be saved. The Bible says there is a number that can't be counted at this time. That takes us back over there to what Peter was talking about at Pentecost when he quoted Joel. Souls are going to be saved. Are you one of them people like Bugs Bunny? I never will forget this cartoon. I've always had this image in my mind. Bugs Bunny is coming to the ground. You know, there are certain people that always wanted to kill Bugs Bunny. And he's on this looked like a big 747. He's headed straight for the ground. And right before it hits the ground, Bugs Bunny just jumps off. Everything's all right. Plane disintegrates. Bugs Bunny's all right. You know, I believe the devil wrote that cartoon. I believe he did. And I believe, we laugh about that, but that's like a lot of Christians are thinking, or not Christians, a lot of people that want to become Christians are thinking that way. I'll just wait till a few more things happen and I'll see how it goes and I'll call upon the Lord then. And I'll tell them right quick, I said, look, you don't call upon the Lord, He pulls your heartstrings. Because no man cometh to God the Father lest he go by Jesus Christ, and no man come to Him lest he be drawn by the Father. You better go when God calls. And there's never been a time, I don't know of any time, where I think God is calling more than He is right now. He says the harvest is ripe. I believe Him. Matthew 9:37, then saith He unto the disciple, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Where do you think the laborers come from, folks? Where do the laborers come from? Look at Jeremiah just a minute, 9:20, and I'm going to quit Bible thumping. I'm just about done. Jeremiah chapter 9, look at verse 20. Yet hear the word of the Lord, O ye women, and let your ear receive the word of His mouth, and teach your daughters well. I'm still not in the right place. It says, though, the scripture I'm looking for, I don't know why, that's my dyslexic mind, I guess. I don't know why I always, yeah, there it is, 9:20. It says, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black, astonished, hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? I remember Brother Joe Arthur read this scripture. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we're not saved. The harvest is now. And church, if you don't get anything else that I've talked about this morning, remember this. Don't think in a physical sense. That's where the devil wants to keep you, in the physical world. It's about everything that's going on in your life, all the physicalities in your life. He wants to hurt. He wants to devour. You know why Brother Charlie's back hurts this morning? Or why my back hurts, or why anybody else hurts? Sin. Not necessarily our sin. Could be, but sin. I'm not trying to be like Job's friend and say, brother, you're a sinner. That's why your back's hurting. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the devil made all that hurt come upon us. And he takes pride in that. There's nothing he wants better than to see you hurting. I've been teaching on Wednesday night on the seven things the devil don't want you to do. You know what one of them is? The best one of them, the first one of them is be here. Devil don't want you in here. Devil don't want you under preaching. Devil don't want you under teaching at all. But his physical part of the part of you, he wants to hurt. He wants to devour you. I'm asking you this morning, if you're lost and undone without Jesus Christ, if you want to know him, if God's pulling on your heartstrings this morning and the devil is ripping your heart and he's putting your hands on the pews and you're holding on when the altar call is here, I'm telling you, let go and let God have his way. Amen. Let God save you this morning before it's ever too late. People need to hear the plan of salvation. People need to know that they need to seek God through Jesus Christ. He comes, he draws. And the devil wants you to be one of them that's on the wayside. He wants you to be one of them on the stony ground. He don't want you taking root. And once that taproot is taken, once you accept Jesus Christ and what he done on Calvary's cross, I want to tell you, friend, you're my brother or you're my sister in Christ for eternity. And there's nothing the devil can do to take it away. Now, he wants to still make a Christian's life rough around the edges. But you know what? Every time I open up the Word of the God right here, and God says he wins the battle. Because the God I serve today, he's not coming back on a donkey this time. He's going to be on a big white stallion. I'm going to be one on riding, maybe just a little bit smaller than his, but I'll be on a white stallion. I'll have on my robe without seam, and I want everybody here to have the same kind of horse and the same kind of robe. And we're going to watch Jesus take over. We won't have to wave palms at him anymore. Everybody will be able to see the fire coming out of his eyes. And when he opens his mouth, the word of God will devour any enemy that's in his way. That's the God I want to serve. That's the winning team I want to be on, and it's the winning team I want you to be on this morning. Do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? I want to ask everyone here, y'all come, I want to ask you a question this morning. Everybody here, I want you to think about this. You don't raise your hand. I just want you to think about something this morning. Do you remember where you were when God saved you? I'm talking to everybody. If you're saved this morning, you remember. I'm talking about the exact time or the exact day or none of that. I remember, but I remember the place where I was when God saved me. Do you remember? The next question I'm going to ask you is, I want you to think about your testimony. How did God save you? What was the conversation that you had with the Lord when you got saved? That's your testimony. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. Have you got a testimony? There's something spiritual took place. I'm not trying to make it hard to get saved or anything like that, because it's not. When God's drawing you and you see him, just like the thief on the cross right there beside God seen him and realized who he was, said, would you remember me? Lord, would you remember me? When all the war starts, God, would you remember me? And God looked right back at him and said, today, not then, but today thou shalt be with me in paradise. You're not going to have to worry about that war. It's not coming on you. I'm going to give you a white horse to ride, and I'm going to put a seamless robe on you, and I'm going to do it in my blood. Do you remember that time? Do you remember where God saved you? Do you have a testimony this morning? Now, I'm going to talk to the others this morning, those of you that, well, I don't remember that time. I've been going to church most all my life, but I don't ever remember praying and asking God to remember me or save me. I don't ever remember that little spiritual drawing in my heart that draws one to Jesus Christ. I don't remember that. If you're that person this morning, you need to come to Jesus Christ. You need to, if He's pulling on your heartstrings today, right now is the time to be saved, because this war could start in any time after the rapture of the church. You don't get to go if you're not saved. And God could take us out before we ever get through those doors. Are you saved this morning? Do you remember the time? And if you don't hang on to that pew. Get on your knees right there where you're at. Come down here. I'll pray with you. I cannot pray for you, but I'll sure pray with you. You might be here and you don't feel that drawing. And you got a big question mark on your mind. I'll tell you one prayer that God will hear from you. God, will you reveal yourself to me? Will you show me who Jesus is? He'll hear that from a lost person. And I promise you, He'll answer. You come this morning if you're... Let's all stand, all that can. If you're done, undone and lost, or you might just want to re-up. You might want to say, God, put the words on my heart that I might lead somebody else to Christ. If there's anything that God's pulling on your heart about that you need to come down here and talk to Him, you come on. If you need me to pray with you, you give me the look. I'll come pray with you. But you come this morning.
See you. somebody that the Satan's power is holding on. I don't know how, I don't know why. I know he's good at it. I know when he's calling me to preach that he tried to get his old arm around me and I wouldn't let it happen. I'd have to go to the basement every morning, night, and pray him off. God always comes. He always comes when you pray. Don't waste that drawing. Don't do it. The fruit's ripe, you better pick it. Play one more verse. Anybody, if you got anything on your heart, you come.